God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word, for in your word is abundant life. Amen. So, every now and then I find myself revisiting this sermon. Not this exact sermon, but this theme. And not just because the reading comes up in the lection every 3 years, but because you're all sheep. There, I said it. I didn't want to say it, but I had to. And look, you heard the response. You're all sheep. Actually, we're all sheep. But you knew that, right? I mean, because that's the problem with religion. We're all supposed to be sheep. You join a church and you shut off your brain. And the minister tells you what to think. Done. Or the priest tells you. Or the head office of the United Church of Canada tells you what to think. And you simply comply. Because that's who we are. We're compliant. You know it. I know it. Come, join the church, shut off your brain, and become sheep. But that's how it works, right? Lots of people think so. The gospel says we're sheep. You can't argue with the gospel. Did you understand the gospel this morning? Beautifully read, incidentally. Like, it was really, Maurice is hidden on me. He's gone away. Yeah. Clearly, he was confused by it. Which is good, because I got to tell you, I had some trouble understanding it too, which might be why I have to keep preaching it. So without him here to recite it, let me remind you what Maurice read to you. Truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. And the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he's brought out all his own, he goes out ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Got it? It's a metaphor. For what? Anybody? Okay, now the gospel also says that Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So the first people to hear it didn't get it either. So we shouldn't feel bad. So again, Jesus says to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So that cleared it up for you, I assume. And we can probably go home now. See, some people seem to think that this is about heaven, getting in through the gate, right? But Jesus talks about coming and going through the gate, back and forth, and that doesn't sound like heaven. And he also talks about those who would sneak in. As far as I know, heaven's not a place you sneak in. So as I read this passage over and over again, I realize that this is not really about the afterlife, which, like, really shouldn't surprise me, because with Jesus, it's rarely about the afterlife. It's about the here now life. And consider this line: "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." I'd suggest to you that this, like most of Jesus' stories and metaphors, is about life. Living well, living fully, living abundantly. I don't mean full of money. I mean full of life. So take a moment and imagine what full of life might mean for you. Full of life. To me, I would enjoy my family and friends. I wouldn't be afraid. I'd have time. I'd be able to share my feelings without fear. I would feel like I was really contributing, like I was making a difference. I would be part of a just and loving community. Abundant life. I would release my privilege. I'd live a life beyond my biases. I could really talk to my children. And I'd be a really good dancer. Now, that might seem frivolous, but it's just part of my vision here. Because we all have a sense of what a fuller life would be like. And we're no different than the folks thousands of years ago. We're no different than the apostles. Jesus knows that we want to have a fuller life, and he's trying to help us. He's trying to show us how the world works. He tries to explain it to them. He says, okay, look, life is like a big sheepfold, and I'm the shepherd. And God is sort of at the gate, and God let me lead you in and out. Let me help you. The problem is, some others went around the back and slid under or climbed over the fence. So you got to pay attention. Do you get it? Okay, I tell by your eyes you don't get it. All right. Okay, so life is still like a sheepfold, but I'm not the shepherd. I'm the gate. Okay, just forget about the shepherd thing for a moment. I'm the gate now. Now, the good guys, the ones who come through the gate, are let in because I recognize them. They're like me. They speak my language. They share my love. I approve of them. We're of the same. Now, there are some others who slipped in the back, but the good guys, the ones I let in, they can take you in and out of the sheepfold. They can help you live. The others, not so much. So to make it simple, look for the good guys. There it is. Look for the good guys. Listen for the good guys. Good enough. So you see, we're not asked to be sheep. We are like sheep because we follow the good shepherd, but we're unlike sheep because we're expected to work at hearing Jesus. We're meant to be discerning. Because as Jesus knows, there are a lot of voices out there vying for our attention. Buy this, sell that. Love this, hate that. Include them, keep them out. Fight, give up. Buy now, save for a rainy day. Love your neighbor, watch your back. Open your heart, lock your doors. That's the way the world works, right? There's so many voices, so many demands. How are we supposed to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? Marcon or Le Pen? Fox, CBC? Tory, Wynne, Trudeau, Mulclair? Huffington or National Post? Stephen Hawking thinks we have about 100 years left on this planet. The Dalai Lama believes we could all thrive if we learned to let go. Donald Trump decries fake news. The Pope warns us about false wisdom. How do we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? How do we do that? Well, here's a little advice. Think of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you hear it? As soon as we get into it, do you feel it? Doesn't your breathing go easier when you hear those words? Didn't you find it easy to sing at the beginning of the service? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Do you feel it? There's a pace. Slow down. If you want to hear the voice of God, if you want to respond to the Good Shepherd, then shut up for a little bit. And stop and breathe for a moment. You don't have to lie down in green pastures, but you can rest and take your time and breathe and think. What's right? What's wrong? I know I was mad a second ago, but if I just stop and slow down for a second, what should I do? I probably don't have to yell back. Maybe I don't have to win this argument at all. You hear those voices, don't you? not just me. That little voice inside telling you what to do, that feeling that's urging you along. I mean, the truth is, most of us do the wrong things sometimes. And most of us know when we're doing it, don't we? I mean, you can kid me if you want, but don't kid yourself. Most of the time when we do the wrong thing, we know it. We know we shouldn't do it. We know that somebody's going to have to pay. We know that God would have us do something else, but we do it anyway because it's easier. We're not listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. We go with whatever voice happens to be the loudest at that moment. Might be a voice of anger, might be a voice of comfort, might be a voice of privilege. Who knows? But we know it's not the voice of the Good Shepherd. I'm assuming most of you, or many of you, were at the garage sale yesterday. And I'm betting a lot of you donated stuff to the garage sale, right? So, having gotten rid of all that stuff you didn't need, how much stuff did you buy yesterday? I mean, I saw some of you going out of here with bags, you know, and sheepish smiles. Well, I couldn't resist, you know. I needed a George Foreman grill, you know. Well, maybe not need, you know, I do have a grill and a barbecue and several frying pans, but none of them are George Foreman, you know, and besides, it's for the church. Yeah. I bought a martini shaker. Because I used to collect these. Truth is, I rarely make martinis anymore. And if I did, they wouldn't be that big. I got rid of my martini shaker collection years ago. But I saw it. And it was crowded, and people were pushing, and it was busy, and it was loud, and suddenly I needed that. And come on, at least a few of us have ordered two pizzas because the second pizza was only half price, right? So you get that because it's such a great deal, but then you don't eat it. It just sits there anyway. And I'm betting some of us here, at least if you're the right age, some of us have a Bo Peel pocket fisherman at home or a patty stacker or a knife that can cut through a shoe and then a tomato in case you want to make lasagna with one of your sneakers. So, I mean, a whole bunch of us here have bought something that we saw on late night TV, you know, or in the middle of our Facebook feed. I bought these glasses that pop out. There they go. They pop out of my little keychain. I bought these because I saw them on Facebook. So if ever I need to read something, they sit right here on my nose. And people laugh at me because apparently I'm not bringing the Prince Nez back into fashion. Why did I buy these? Why would anybody buy something that they saw on TV or on internet pop-up ads? Well, because it's late and you're tired and you've had just about enough and you don't want to think anymore and your defenses are down and your critical powers are low. We've been there. You're at the drive-thru because you're too tired to cook and supersize just seems like a good deal. We've been there. But if you're going to have an abundant life, then you need to listen and you need to think, even when you don't want to anymore. I know you're tired. I'm tired. And it's hard to think sometimes. The French election, the American political scene, the conservative leadership race, sunny days, Russia, North Korea, Syria, softwood lumber, NAFTA, extreme weather, white privilege, gas prices going up, going down, going up, up, up. Some days, honestly, between you and me, when I read the paper, I just want to scream. And I want to take all of those criminal, evil, and stupid people, the ones who would prey on the innocent or simply ignore justice and kindness, I just want to put them all in a room and kick them over and over and over again. You know what I mean? But if I stop, and if I breathe, and if I think, I know that that's not the voice of the Good Shepherd. I may want it to be, but I know it's not. Because I've listened to Jesus before. And Jesus has never once recommended that I put people in a room and kick them. Jesus' voice invites me into compassionate resistance, invites me to seek out victims and stand with them, invites me to confront injustice with love, not violence. The voice of the Good Shepherd invites me to insist rather than demand. But sometimes it would be so much easier just to lose my temper and label all those so-and-sos and hate them. But the voice is calling me, calling you into abundance, not hatred. And abundance is for all of us. Hatred, that's just for me. And then there's this other little game that we play. Is that the voice of the Good Shepherd? No, maybe it's not. Maybe I thought I heard it, but I'm probably wrong. We don't trust ourselves. I mean, what do we know? I mean, we're just regular people. And we just bought an old martini shaker, so how bright can we be? But the Good Shepherd says to us, you, listen up. You do know what's going on. You are compassionate and you are intelligent. You can trust yourself because you do know my voice. You know things and you're not an idiot. You're not mindless sheep that simply follow. You can listen and you can consider and you can recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd. And you can follow that voice. Never mind what the rest of the sheep are doing. You can do it. It's the strangest thing. In one way, Jesus wants us to be sheep and follow him, but in a more profound way, he wants us to use our minds and our integrity and decide for ourselves which voice is his. He wants us to trust not only in God, but radically also in ourselves. Imagine trusting God and trusting ourselves, which is kind of why we're here, I think. In church, to be together, to become attuned to the voice of the Good Shepherd. And so we talk to each other about what we're hearing, and we talk to each other about what we're feeling and what we're thinking, and we challenge each other and we support each other, and we discover for ourselves what that voice is saying. Together, we can cut through the clamor and then figure out how to respond and how to live abundantly, an abundance that goes beyond us. An abundance that doesn't take from somebody else. See, we're not just sheep waiting to be led. We're in a busy sheepfold. There's hustling and there's bustling. And we're being pushed and we're being shoved and we're walking through manure a lot of the time. But as we listen, breathe, we can hear the shepherd calling. As we pay attention and ask ourselves, who is that calling? Do we need to hear those words? Do those words give life? Do those words take us in or out of community? As we think about these things, then we can know which call is coming from God. And then all we have to do is follow. Not because the minister said so. What does he know? He bought a martini shaker. Not because the crowd said so. What do they know? Look at elections. But because we heard a voice. And we knew it to be the voice of the one who loves us, the one who offers us not just life, but abundant life. You know what that voice sounds like. So trust yourself, because God does speak to you. God does trust you. And I'm pretty sure that that's our gospel this morning. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, open our hearts and our minds, open our ears, that we might hear you call us, that we might recognize your voice amid the clamor and noise of this world, and that we might have the strength, the imagination, the courage to follow in and out of the sheepfold, bringing with us others, and discovering together abundant life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.